What's up, everybody? Welcome in. Special episode of the Rich Dream Show, featuring, of course, myself, Smoke, my boy G. Special guest in the building today, we got Mr. A.E.G., Mr. Aang. What's going on with you, man? Pleasure to have you. Appreciate you for blessing the set, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. Make sure you're tapping in, of course, with the Now Legacy Network. Make sure you're tapping in with them for all types of great content. They got different shows, interviews, all different types of black content over at the Now Legacy Network. This, of course, is where we live streaming. Of course, you can catch us every Friday at The Rich Dream Show. Make sure you follow us on the socials at The Rich Dream Show Pod. All one word, man. Man.
What's up?
Man, you got us with a guest in here. I think you know this brother for a little while now. Go ahead and get the intro going, baby.
Man, this is my guy, man.
About a year.
That's right, man. This is the first guy that gave us an opportunity to have our brand in the storefront, man. I appreciate a lot that this is my guy, Aang. Also, before I go any further, make sure if you're in the Dallas area, go check out Premier Market and Red Bird Mall. Hit him up. So much dope stuff up in there, man. How you doing there, brother?
I'm good,
right? Oh, yeah, yeah. Man, we finally got you in here, man. You know, I know you told my boy, like, man, y'all get a spot, man. Y'all hit the other end. But, yeah, now we got a spot. Yes, sir.
It's my element, man.
Yeah.
I love sitting in front of the camera talking some good shit.
Got to. How you been, though, man? How everything been? How business?
It's really been cool, man. Starting off the new year in the right way. Got a couple of new brands this year already, so I'm excited to see how that's all unfolding. And I already seen that they're doing well initially, you know what I'm saying? Of course, our brand has been doing well and will continue to do well.
Yes, sir.
I'm really mostly excited about this event we got coming up.
Okay. What's the event?
We're gonna do like a mass event with all of the brands that's included in the store. You know, so it's gonna be like
this. Oh, so we gonna be in it.
I was about to say, make sure you're looking out for Rich Dreams in that thing.
Oh shit, you know, we gonna be in it. Okay. Man, so you do music.
I do.
See, that's what's your, so you have an album coming out, right?
No, it's out now.
It's out now. What's the name of it?
It's called Beer.
Okay. What's your favorite track on the album?
Ain't a lot to you, man. I made this album with the intention of the full album being single after single.
Okay.
So I've been kind of bouncing back and forth between my favorites because they all carry their own mood, their own little feel to them, but they all like radio worthy. So it's like the mold you in on the side of your favorite. Right now, if I just had people and I'd say, answer this.
Okay.
It's a Jack on answer this on the list. That's one of my favorites.
Okay.
So this is less of a storyteller type of vibe, but this is just more of a every single that you play is gonna make you feel a different type of element, but it's gonna be a snatch. You know, you turn
it. Yeah, it's all party music.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Club bangers. Some females can dance to, some men can dance to, you know.
Now who don't like?
Yeah, come on, man.
Especially in the day of the twerking, man.
This is my funnest project I think I've been putting
out. Okay.
Look out for Bia. So, you know, Bia can name an artist. Was she an inspiration to you?
What's the meaning of Bia, then, man? Let's know what the meaning of Bia is.
So, I'm often referred to as other things because sometimes I feel like people just be uncomfortable saying my name.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm often called like Gold.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Even though like Gold is a part of my name, it's bothersome for me to hear it because it's like Cat in the Hat, right?
Right.
My name is Asshole and Gold.
It's okay.
Something similar to Cat in the Hat.
Okay.
If you was to approach Cat in the Hat, would you call him Hat? Did that make sense?
I ain't gonna lie, I would be a little off-putted and seeing a 10-foot tall cat, period.
Not right on.
But yeah, I probably.
But it depends on what kind of hat you got.
Yes.
If the hat make it make sense, it should make it make sense.
Yeah.
But I just just don't like people calling me dog because that's the wrong the emphasis on the wrong part of what my name is.
No doubt.
The project is B-I-A because I would rather you call me asshole than to call me dog. You know what I'm saying?
It's
bitch, it's asshole. You know what I'm saying? That's what B-I-A is saying.
Okay. Yeah. Bitch is asshole for those that didn't know.
That's hard. That's hard.
Yeah.
You should have made that into a song, man.
It's
I turned
to
a low-key
A&R
shit, man.
It's one of the songs on there. It's a song on there called
"This Asshole." Listen, I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know, it's true,
man.
You're
not the man on shit. I know. Nah, man. So, how many songs is on there? I think you said seven, right?
It's seven. I wanted it to be eight songs on there, but one of the songs I'm calling the underrated track is called "Gang Like Penny."
Okay.
It's a song I did with an artist out of Houston, man, which is actually where I'm from, even though I'm in Dallas now. I think I'm stuck here.
Man, you know what, bro? Not to cut you off. You do not give me Dallas vibes. Mm-hmm. You know, you give me vibes like you from somewhere else.
Yeah.
I always stop there. You know what I'm saying? Because you do not give me Dallas nigga vibes, man. Nothing against them, but I'm just saying, like, you know, you can tell where people from by how they act.
Before I moved to another area, there was a conversation that we used to have about people in Houston, just like, oh, you can tell when they're from the south side. You're from the south side.
That's how we're from Louisiana, man. And you can tell a North Louisiana nigga versus South Louisiana.
Yes.
We North Louisiana.
It's
niggas from South Louisiana, they talk like Gates and Boosie, and all that shit. We just talk,
they basically say we from like East Texas.
Yeah, that's what they do. They say we in Louisiana, but it's like, I mean, to be honest, like, I go down there, I've been down there for Mardi Gras, right. This way. I always much rather come.
You got a whole culture created around, just. Being able to, all time relay at the good times, bro. That's how we do it.
You know, all the festivals and stuff. But we turn, man. But so to get back on track, what got you on music and like how old did you start?
It was an outlet of expression more so. When I first started doing music, it originally started as poetry and it kind of just stumbled off into a more rhythmic rhyming scheme, and just seeing how other people reacted to what I was saying and gave me that passion to be like, I like this, like, I want to get this often as I can. So I started doing more and more music, man. So people gravitated to it in such a way, it was like, why wouldn't I had continued, like I was at a young age, like making people tear up from my music. Okay. So I'm like, dang, if I can get somebody to tear up, like I'm saying something, I'm doing something, like,
Okay.
So I just couldn't put it back down after that, man. And that was when I started that around 13, 14, maybe. Man, so I've been really doing music for a
What would you say your first song when you was like, okay, hey, fuck you.
Green Holiday.
So I go look that up. Is it on?
This song don't even exist no more, man.
You gotta get it on there, man. Get it on some platform.
It was just one of those songs. If I remember all the lyrics to it, I probably would re-record it, man. But this was a song, like I say, I was real young. I was like 13, 14. So it was a song about my dad, Me and my dad never had a real relationship, and I never really talked about it with anybody, and I ain't never expressed myself in a way that it looked like it affected me. So when I made the song, it was a new information to anybody that was near and dear to me, just having them to be able to understand what I did, feel. And then a lot of times when I write music, in my mind, like, I can't comprehend how I feel.
Right.
But when I go and I record the music and I play the song back to myself, it's like I'm explaining to myself how I feel sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the emotion will come out through the lyrics. You know what I'm saying? I grow a better understanding for myself.
Okay. That's a lot of times with final artists, man, is that they're able to express themselves more through their music than anything else. Like, you'll see people in different realms, athletes or whatever. They may not be good, you know, necessarily just speakers or whatever, out in public or interviews or anything like that, but they're able to convey a message so much across what they do. Right. And that's just a part of them.
And there's a lot of artists that's not feeling like it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They really are in tune with what they've been talking about, and just up there saying something into a microphone, you know what I'm
saying? Right. Now, I can definitely feel that, man. Being somebody that didn't grow up with my pops, it can make you feel some type of ways, man. It can make you feel like, damn, like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
You know, why don't I have, you know, pops. You see every, you know, a couple of your friends or a lot of your friends, they have their pops doing all this. It can make you kind of, you know, jealous and make you feel, you know, unworthy, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
I think I was more ignorant to it, man. Yeah. Like, I didn't really grow up close to nobody else who had their dad either.
Mm. Well, so then you really, like, this is the norm.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. So I didn't know I was missing out on rare moments of, you know, things that I would need to know as a grown boy to become a man, for sure. Saying so,
I can say that feelings like that didn't hit me till I was like later in life too.
Yeah.
Like when I was growing up, shoot, I was like, when my grandma started off, I didn't even get with my mom till I was like 6 or 7. So that's just like, it was like, to me, it was like, okay, it's always been a woman taking care of me, you know, and it didn't dawn on me too, maybe like later teenage years, and I was like, dang, because I didn't learn how to drive till later in life. So I'm like, dang, maybe if I had been, you know, he probably took me out when I was young, and,
yeah,
you know, sat me on the lap and taught me some stuff, you know.
Like, me and my daughter was talking about that yesterday morning, about me sitting her on my lap and being kind of driving her. Like, I ain't do it, though.
That's just valid.
I let my son do it
when
he was around my age. Yeah, he the reason why I ain't gonna let him do it.
So not being sexist, but he just learned.
As a father,
he learned from him. Broke the steering wheel and drove like a video.
Oh, he played that. That time, bitch, when you were a youngster, man, it's nothing like that. Which is why, you know, I'm about to be a father soon. So, man, how do you balance this shit, bro? Like, you have a lot going on. How do you balance that? And then also having to have, you know, balance with your kids and stuff.
It's actually, like, kind of hard, man, because I'm a single father.
Oh, man.
So there ain't no female at the house.
Hold it down.
Cook, ain't nobody helping me do no hair.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just,
you talking to you.
It's just, not real, man. It's a serious job. Yeah. I've been having my daughter since she was 6 months. She's 8 now.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? My son, I've just been having him for about 2 years.
So you have him sole custody?
Yeah.
Shout out, brother.
So
for anybody that think that men can't do this shit, you can do this shit, bro. Yeah.
I know. I'm gonna have my daughter all life. I will
tell
him.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. Yes, sir. Let's put some things out on the checklist real quick for those that's gonna be inquiring, because you know they're gonna be coming after you. Kids, no kids? Can they have kids?
I don't know. It depends on. I'm an energy person, man. So
I need spirit, right?
I need to meet the person, and then I need to also meet their children. I will not date somebody because of something.
So you don't got to just
with, you know what I'm saying?
No problem.
Now, I mean, yeah, I ain't gonna. I mean, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a man at the end of the day too.
Yeah,
so I'm willing to mold the child. You know what I'm saying? But I also have to be permitted to mold the child as well.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it's about when you're dating somebody, it's just certain boundaries. You don't cross the certain kind of boundaries you should be allowed to. You know, so it just depends on the maturity of the person. You know.
But that's murky waters right there.
Yeah, it really is.
That's murky waters. I always been a guy that thought man, I don't have kids. I'm not really messing. I'm not even trying to, you know, too much mess. They're not the preference, I'll say that. Now, if this is, you know, at the time, if it was a woman that I'm like, okay, she's real though, she's cool, I'll give it a try. Even if she had kids, but for the most part, I was just on some stuff like, I don't have no kids, I don't really feel like giving them no baby daddy. So,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of how I was coming.
You know? There's a lot of situations you see, and it's like, most of the time, it's some type of drama. No matter how cool they are, or something at some point, when you're dealing with somebody with kids, it's just more than likely there'll be interaction, or there'll be, you know, maybe even just a scenario of time where they feel like, you know, you were spending too much time with child. Anything can come up.
Nah, it's a lot of, it really is like you want.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta be dealing with the right person that has to have the right maturity.
Right.
That mindset for sure.
I
feel like I could definitely date somebody that was still active with their baby daddy in the way that he was there to be there for the child and whatnot for a couple. He also has to have, like I say, that level of maturity to be able to coincide with
Yeah. And at the end of the day, the most important thing is the children. So as long as they, you know, not around somebody that's abusive or, you know, that means them any type of harm, like you said, you trying to pour into them. So,
So, go ahead. You got
something? I was going to say, just to be clear, so you got children, you got a daughter and a son? Man, that's awesome, dude. And you say your son is old.
13 and 8.
Okay, legit, man. So you were just talking about kind of getting them motivated and everything. I know they love seeing you, you know, basically call your own shots as being an entrepreneur and you know, kind of showing them and guiding them. Is that kind of what the area that you like them going as well, or?
Both of my kids kind of are active in the store. You know, my daughter a little more, she just like, she takes satisfaction in helping me in any kind of way, man. So I really do enjoy having her in the store. She calls herself the manager, the store manager. And she actually know how to do some stuff, you know, for real. Like, she
could
really
business. So man, you said you're from Houston.
I'm not a street person.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But I grew up in one of the most notorious.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But I don't idolize that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't say.
I'm just talking music. That's all. I'm just talking music. Did you rock with that movement back then, early 2000s, late 90s?
It just depends on the music.
Okay.
And that's what more so what I'm saying, it depends on how the music made me feel. You know, I ain't like a whole bunch of the school songs just because there was a lot of freestyles mostly, but some of the freestyles was Texas. Mm-hmm. So it just depended on, you know, who was rapping, what they were talking about,
okay,
who produced it, you know.
Right.
But if we just, we're going to be real about it, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I heard a lot more of, like, that. A lot of DJ school people, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, a lot of my issues.
Okay. Yeah. Who is like one of your favorite artists from Houston? Like, all the time?
From Houston? Shreena.
Yeah, you know what it's called. Listen, man, we from Natchez, Louisiana. That's North Louisiana, about an hour south of Shreveport. I don't know how Houston music got so big where we from, but I swear it was like, we wasn't listening to any, like, we weren't really listening to like the Hot Boys and all of that back then. We was listening to Lil Flip, Lil O, Kiki, all those guys.
Yeah.
I don't know how, bro, but it was like, that was a movement, man. I think, I remember 2003, 2004, like they went mainstream, like a lot of those guys, Lil Flip, Chameleon Air. I'm just like, bro, how did they were supposed to have a run like these Atlanta guys had? As many of them as it was, it's like, bro, how did y'all not have a run like that?
don't know. I feel like in Houston, the politics is just, you know, and then
you got over there.
You got to pay like the way in the music business, bro. I heard. You know what I'm saying? So if you ain't got the financial capabilities to sustain your career and
know somebody,
take these relationships, man. Mm-hmm. So you got to politic, you got to get those relationships, and then you got to also have a couple dollars to fund, you know, or either to rub some shows and motivate some people that you don't fuck with to do some things for you.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? That was my biggest drug. You know, I had to stop doing music for a little bit, man.
Okay.
So this is my, like, comeback project.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And
is that a part of why you stopped?
Politics, man. You know, but also in learning that I had to do a lot of politics, I also manipulated the system. You know, mm-hmm. I grew some of the right relationships and I learned some of the right traits and you know, trades and whatnot. So now I can kind of do most of what I need to do myself, but then I can kind of outsource what I can't do. And then after I've done that, which is where I'm at now, we're releasing my project. Now it's kind of the fun, my work.
Yeah.
So now it's doing interviews and doing shows, traveling, working with different people and whatnot.
Right.
But they take a budget. You know, moving around more. And being that I would be moving around, they take me out of the store as well. You know what I'm saying? So I have to be real particular with how I operate just so that all of these things can function and none of them fall apart.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So being an artist, being an entrepreneur, and being a father, like, it really do take some
balance, man. That's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah. So, about the store, how did the store come about? How did Orbeer Market, or Premier, I'm sorry, that's what I was saying at first, Premier Market, how did that come about?
So I started Ramirez in 2007.
Okay.
You know, so
now just give me your history of what we been learning. I'm assuming that's an acronym. So,
right. It was at a point in time.
Okay.
Okay. So now it's took on its own identity now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Ramirez
is brand itself. You got actual Ramirez clothing now.
Right on.
Okay.
So 07, I originally started the brand, and it was based on the original acronym was Rob Me, I'm Rich.
Mmm. This ain't let me know what I had.
The shirt like really set fire to the whole North Side.
Yeah.
Everybody was wearing the shirt. And I think I got jealous because it became more popular than me as an artist.
Ah, man.
You know, a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And also people wanted it to be like a hood shirt, and I wanted it to be more like a Scrooge McDuck kind of thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like the irony of what it says is supposed to be like funny in a way, you know.
They wanted to keep you in the streetwear, urbanwear type shit. You wanted to be
Well, now at the time, I had no aspiration of anything more than just that phrase on the shirt. Mm-hmm. I had just came up with the idea of wanting some money.
Okay.
You know, but over time, and I sold with these shirts and I got it at once. And I used that to kind of fund what I was doing in music or whatnot.
Okay.
But I dove deeper into music with that money and I got all the way out of the clothing, this whole t-shirt thing. And I stopped doing it for like 10 years. So when I got down here to Dallas, I ended up releasing some merch for one of my projects that we needed. And people was just real excited about the merch. And they're just like, man, you look like you got some designer skills, man. It's like some dope designer. So I was like, yeah, so I used to have a brand.
Yeah.
But I ain't it's a whole
it's a movement out of it.
It's real.
So that's extra skill that you had in there being able to sketch and you know put those ideas on paper, man.
Yeah, I was doing a lot of tracing stuff when I was younger, which kind of just muscle memory helped me learn how to kind of freehand draw some lines in
certain detail.
Yeah. My older cousin was like the world to me, man. And he was like, he could draw your hand and you can hold your hand next to the hand he drew and you would be like, damn, which one is my hand?
Wow.
Like, he could draw. Yeah. Like, they kind of inspired me to kind of pick it up. I never got that good
right
at all. I aspire to one day. That's it, you know.
Man, that's like a plus, like you have a clothing brand, like, because like you said with the rap game, you learn different things, different parts of the trade, to where a lot of the shit you can do on your own, yeah. Shit that you still can't do, you can outsource for it. But that's kind of what I'm learning, what we're learning. Like, okay, if it's something that we can pick up on, learn how to do, that's something we ain't got to spend money on.
Right.
You know, some of the drops that we had, I didn't have to pay for a logo because I kind of finessed it and did my own little thing about it. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's very important, man. For anybody that's coming up with a clothing brand or anything like that, man, learn the tricks of your trade. It can be rapping or whatever you want. Learn the tricks of your trade, man.
All the time.
Gotta stay learning.
Originally, I didn't know how to use the Cricut Maker. You know, I didn't know how to work the programs.
Right.
I mean, now I got a heat press, I got a hat press, I got I have my own Cricut Maker. I got different programs, and different apps that I'm using.
Right.
Trying new things. I go to like the vinyl manufacturers and whatnot, and they kind of tell you a loose description on how to work with these materials and whatnot. And this certain stuff that they didn't know could be done that I came back up there like, I'm with it now.
That's
growing what I can do, baby.
That's what it's about. That's what it's about. So you've been in business how long?
In Ramirez.
I had a guy at a pop-up one time. He was in a loft similar to this downtown fellas. He was like, man, you know, this is last year.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, give me any advice, man. You've been having your business going for a while. The guy that had sense, like
I need to find
the Keith guy.
That's
the name. Keith.
I need to find him.
He gave me some advice. He was like, man, you can last 3 years.
Yeah.
You can do it. If you can last 3 years without, you know, going too deep in your pockets behind it, you know, of course, seeing some profit, you can do it long term.
For sure.
You know, I also got a partner as well.
Okay.
That dude helped a lot. My partner is a bigger part of it than me.
Yeah.
In a lot of senses. So.
So you say you've been at a solidified location for 3 years, but you say you started around back in 07, basically. So let's make note of that. It's 2024, 16, around 2021 he got started. I mean, let's keep noting. You got to put that foot to the fire and grind it out for a while, and then you see those fruits of the labor.
I hit a lot of wild.
I was about to say, what was kind of like one of those points where you didn't know quite if you was going to stick with it because it got like really tough to keep it going?
Let's see, the most recent time was
sometimes
it's
like that.
Yeah.
So taking any kind of major financial loss can kind of make you question what you're doing.
For sure.
It could be designs not going right. You know, sometimes creatively, I want to do things differently in a way that I can't actively produce myself. You know what I'm saying? So my aspirations be bigger than my capability. And sometimes that deters me, but that's when I start saying, quit being proud and outsourcing what you can't do.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. True.
Give us an example of what you're talking about.
So originally, I was drawing every one of my images and scanning them, getting color added, you know, whatnot. But I want certain designs to be a lot more detailed than I'm capable of drawing. So I do what I can do. And then I find an artist capable of doing what I can.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's still my thought process. It's still my design. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes I have to accept that helping hand. But I, when it comes down to drawing, I try to make sure, like, I at least put the skeleton there. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of just cleaning up what I've done. So that way it ain't like they creating what I want.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still my idea.
Right.
You just lay the foundation, they add a little finishing touches that you can't do.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Even like the location in itself, you know. Winners is hard. Winners is hard, man. You would think that shopping peaks up around Christmas, but it decreases a lot. You know what I'm saying? Sales decrease a lot, so you have to be able to float between like November and February.
You know, yeah, so there's really so much competition out there at that time. Everybody knows, like, okay, this is what people are looking for. People might have already done that shopping. You know,
a lot of times, Christmas people telling you what they want. You know what I'm saying? So if they ain't telling you a middle market, you know, you got to. That's why it's important to stay in the game as long as you can, because that's how people get to know
you. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
It's like, well, that's been there. You know, that's something familiar. I got a lot of customers now, they just come back because they can't find stuff they want to have, you know what I'm saying? Or they just really want something that's unique, man. Like, I got 41 local brands now, you know what I'm saying? So out of 41 different mining brands, everybody got their own opinion on style or swag or whatever they see fashion, you know what I'm saying? So sure, you got all these different variations of how you could walk out your house fresh.
Come on,
you know what I'm saying?
And be like you said, something that you ain't gonna see two or three other people rocking.
Now you could go and put on a lot of this stuff that drop on a Saturday or on a release date, you know what I'm saying, and look nice in. But I guarantee you, if you go somewhere that's heavily populated with our culture and people, it's gonna be eight more people with those pants or those shoes or that hat or that, you know what I'm saying? But if you come to a real market,
right.
If you come to a real market, I guarantee you might see, now old brands getting popular.
No.
You might see somebody.
Look, that's the goal. That's the goal, man.
That's the goal. Yeah. But for the most part, even if you do see somebody else with the brand on, you're gonna see, oh, I got on this, he got on that.
Right.
But you know where it comes from, too.
And
you got that from
the
market. I know where you got that from.
I know, and I do know people who know each other through that situation.
Yeah.
Like, man, that's a real market, man. I just want to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just like, shout out to Guilty Genius.
Yeah.
You guys ran up pop up that I was just telling you about. That's where we met. I'm here. Real cool dude.
Real for real.
And he was one of the first five brands or so.
Yeah. Bro, when we came and put our brand in there, I think he was maybe at 25, 26. Mm-hmm. We had 41 now. In less than a year.
Man.
How's that feel, bro? Like everybody rocking with having that brand and trusting you to have that brand in your store.
It's fulfilling to me because the amount of time it's been and growing to the number of brands that it has, and it's been going smooth, like for the most part, in that aspect of things.
Right.
So my ultimate goal, man, is to be like not only like a Target in the aspect of having a lot of brands hosted there, but it'd be like a Black Target, but also in the sense of size.
Yeah.
Like one day I want a really big Premier Market.
Right.
It's sections of maybe even a local or smaller brands of electronics or toys. A really big space where everybody have an opportunity to present themselves to the market.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's our market, man.
Yeah.
It's our market.
Yeah. That's it. And it's another story. Like, I remember when I think you reached out to me, and I was like, you know what? Out to you on Instagram, you like, you know, give it a side. You know, I was talking to my girl about it and came, walked in, hollered, like, you made me feel comfortable, like, okay, there's somebody that I feel like, you know, she's gonna handle business the right way. And I was like, I'll trust him with my brand and trust that, you know, do the right thing as far as on the business side. And man, we've been rocking almost a year now. I haven't had any problems, bro. So, and it's another outlet that, you know, we don't have that, okay, our stuff is selling over there and it's selling over here. So, man, I'm very appreciative. We very appreciative of you even having us in the store, man.
Man, And I'd be just appreciative as the brands be, bro. Because without y'all, it's not Revere Market, it's just Revere Clothing.
Not that.
Even though my brand does as well, like, and I do have a lot of return customers for my brand. I mean, some people might not like my sauce. You know, my style ain't for everybody.
Right.
A lot of my stuff, I have on some safe Revere today. This is more safe. Like camo, I feel like a large amount of people wear camo.
True,
you know what I'm saying?
You should have brought the sauce out, man.
I'm drinking.
Oh, you got some stuff. You're crazy, you know?
And I done got to the point now where I found out, I learned from a lot of these situations, and I found out shopping experience. You have to put yourself in their shoes as well. When people walk into Revere Market, whether it's my brand or another local brand in the store, a lot of people buy Nike and Polo and whatnot because they're comfortable with those names. They've seen them enough. They've seen enough people represent or be fond of. So when they come in our store, these are unfamiliar brands. These are things they're not comfortable with. So a lot of people don't even know how to wear this stuff. You know what I'm saying? So what I took from that is, oh, you don't know how to wear it. Well, now I'm going to start making things. I used to make outfits, like, you know, sweats, hoodie, you know, and that's a set. But now I do stuff like I make some pants that don't go with anything. And then a couple weeks later, I might make a shirt, but that shirt don't mesh well with this. These pants.
Right.
I kind of group those things together. So
right.
It's like, oh, now I see how I can wear this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people be like, I would wear that, but I don't know how to style it.
I'm
going to back the whole. And it don't even have to be just my brand when I do that. Like, I'll put other people's brands and, you know, stuff together. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, it's a whole little section where I can just look for my size.
Mm-hmm.
It's the small outfits, it's the medium outfits, it's the bug, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. And now we got the plus size rack.
That's the move.
From 2X to 6X.
It's like, man, I can't find that little deep size my size, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to basically look like a tablecloth or something.
Yeah. I get that a lot. The women too, they always want to say, I want to dress us up like clowns if we got a section. Like, but I will, and we don't call our section nothing that's a trigger for a big feet. All the shirts that's going to have your titties out.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
TV shirt, bro.
So, hey,
bro, very popular, right?
Yeah, no, though, man. I think it's just important to make sure you hit all marks, especially what you have in the storefront.
Yeah.
You want everybody to come.
Yeah, man. I opened with them and seen I used to get addressed a lot for what I had on. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Whether people knew me or not, it was just like, dang, bro, you be fresh.
Dressed
well, or I admire this piece or that piece. So when I open the store, I'm thinking of it as an extension of my closet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Let me pick the pieces that I would wear that I feel like I know. You know what I'm saying? And put them in here, but not in my size, so I ain't got to try to steal them, you know?
As far as having the polar brand, that's something I'm going to ask you, because I go through the same shit, bro. How do you feel about that? Because some people will say it's best to basically figure out what the consumer wants or what audience you're trying to market your clothing to versus just picking the shit that you like to wear. I struggle with this. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like I was blessed in that area of being able to find common ground.
Mm,
because the things that I like are might be risky sometimes, but I know how to put the outfit together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not really missing whenever I do what I like, because I know how to make it look good,
right,
in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? So, and then also, I overproduce. Like, if it's something that I feel like is not necessarily what everybody likes, but it's just a cool idea to me, I'll still create that, because it might be a market for somebody else. Like, somebody else might like that. You know what I'm saying? And I test everything. You know, I put it out there for a couple days, you don't get no bites, it end up being a free gift to somebody. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So, hey,
that's another way of marketing myself. You know, I'm getting up people all the time. Have you heard of me? Oh, yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and send you a t-shirt. Like, you know what I'm saying? Now, I done bought a follower with a t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? And I also ain't wasting my product.
Yeah.
You know right. I got that business model in part from Dave and Nate.
Okay.
When he first started his company, he used the model of making 100% of the items, but giving 50% away to the socialites for free. Mm-hmm. And all of the people that he knew that he felt like would get somebody else to wear, he gave it to them 50% of them free, like the whole free. But the other 50%, he sold for the price he wanted. You know, yeah, right, and they ain't cheap.
I ain't never known it to be cheap.
Yeah, so he got that shit. If you want anybody in that jacket, it was $600.
Yes, it was.
$1,000. It was, you know what I'm saying? Da-da-da.
You say that again?
What?
From the beginning, about Baby Day?
Oh, yeah. Yes, started from
the beginning.
The beginning, right?
The idea.
So, yeah, his whole concept was taking 100% of what he produced and using both sides to reach his ultimate goal, which was becoming the biggest brand that was in streetwear. So he would give 50% of what he produced to socialites, basketball players, rappers, actors, entertainers, and whatnot. Then he would sell the other 50% of what he had at market value.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave the full amount of what he wanted. And he also is encouraging new sales with the other people who are not socialites and whatnot, who just want to aspire to be. You know what I'm saying? Because they see these people doing it, and that's what they're moving in. So they feel like they got to move in.
Basically, using them as ambassadors.
Right.
You know, and that's all it is.
I look at everybody like that.
That's all it is. Anytime you got my shit on, you're an ambassador. Right. Whether you know it or not.
That's why I'm trying to make sure that the person is happy with what they have. But the more excited you are about it, the more you're willing to talk about it, spread it out, you know, you can put more people on it. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
No doubt, no doubt.
Now, y'all still surviving pictures.
Nice, man. I know how to kick things too, man.
Yeah, people get a mystery true, but that's a lot of what it is. It is just being able to recognize, you know, where you get certain deals, who you're trying to know, and things of that nature when you're moving and trying to, you know.
You got to dance out of politics in any situation. Yeah, like, man, yeah. Politics is so embedded into any structure of anything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man.
Especially in America.
Yeah, yeah. I got you, man. That's a part of the business.
Yeah, man. Like,
we living in the business. America ain't even a country.
Man. Right. It's a business.
Terrible, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Man, you think about it, we really don't own shit. You don't own
anything.
You don't own
nothing. Not even your kids when they go to school.
You don't own.
That's why I want to see my kids out of school going to school. But I know I ain't got the time for homeschool.
Yeah.
I'm not homeschooling. Homeschooling.
Yeah.
Nah, man, I'm telling you, you say that though. It's like anything that you put your name on, anything like that. Even if it's like ownership papers, it's still a loophole in the room. It's like, yeah, but if you don't take care of this tax or whatever,
you can buy a house cash. Mm-hmm. If you don't pay property tax, bro, you're taking that shit.
Yeah.
Your car that you pay for in cash. If you don't pay the insurance money, you can't drive it or you get a ticket. If it's nothing, land, you don't pay the taxes, they take it. We don't own nothing up there. We don't own anything up there. You have a false sense of ownership. You want to. Don't pay the tax for the insurance.
That's the dream that they sell.
That's what they sell.
Yeah, right, man. Yeah. Make it look like you happy, make you feel like you happy. Mm-hmm. But in reality, it's just this veil of, you know what I'm saying, just falsity.
It's a smoke screen.
Yeah. Come on, man.
It's a smoke come screen, on, man. That's all it is.
No, that's
a real talk, man. Bro, we appreciate you coming through today, man. Yes. Listen, bro. Y'all let me know. Like, I appreciate you, bro. Let the people know what you got coming up next, man.
Man, I'm pushing to get us to a good 100 brands in the store.
Hey,
so,
wow.
Yeah, almost halfway there, man. I feel like we got like a good 3 brands or so coming in next week or two. So I didn't even anticipate it to be so soon. But coming up, man, like I said, we got this event, April 13th. It's going to be a mega event. It's pretty much meeting of brands, you know, meeting of artists, socialites, you know, anybody who is trying to rub shoulders and see how they could be a benefit to somebody or how that person could be a benefit to them, man. So, that, like I said, that's April 13th. To get in contact with us or to find us, we are at Ramir Market. That's R-M-I-R Market on Instagram. And you can find us on Facebook like that as well. My personal Instagram is A-I-N-G of Fang Gang, F-A-N-G-G-A-N-G.
Shout out, man. Appreciate y'all again, man. Appreciate you, Aim, for stopping by, man. It's good to have you on Civic Rich Dream Show. Make sure you tap in with us. You can find us at Ramir Market as well. So make sure you follow in at richdreams_apparel so you can stay in tune with the new drops. Let us know what you can be shopping at Ramir Market for. Make sure you follow in the show at Rich Dreams Show Pod as well. And make sure you follow in the Rich Dreams Universe. And of course, we want to say appreciate to the Now Legacy Network for putting this on as well. Make sure you follow them. Of course.
Hey, wait, what you got? Make sure you follow me on Twitch. I know I be getting my ass whipped on Mad sometimes. I'm trying to Twitch up. Just follow me, man. I'm on that. And I'll show you when I get mad. I don't try to hide it. I'm on webcam. I'm on all that, man. You can hear everything. You hear my dog barking in the background, all that shit. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man. And Young Phase 1. That's 2 Z's at the end of Phase.
Yes, sir. In time. And of course, catch the clips on YouTube as well. All one word at Rich Dreams TV. For G, Aim, I am Smoke. Reminding y'all, don't sleep on your dreams. It's the Rich Dreams Show.
Appreciate it.